Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by 4hymns. Go to 4hymns.com/RGS. That's FORHIMS.com/RGS for a special offer. 4hymns.com/RGS. We're nearing the 200 episode mark of EPP bonus episodes with Real Ghost Stories Online, and they just keep getting better and better.
I walked down the hall. Something was wrong. One of the doors to the old classrooms was open. I wish I would have ran past, as I can still see what I saw in my mind today. Standing on top of the desk in the middle of the room, staring right at me, was a little boy. His face was pure white. When I say white, I mean literally white. And his eyes were very dark, sunken back into his skull.
When you sign up to be an EPP extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com, you get access to every single EPP bonus episode and exclusive video content as well. There's now two ways to be an EPP. You can sign up for $5 a month through our website or follow the link at ghostpodcast.com to become an EPP through Patreon.
I finally decided to talk to this freaking thing and demand answers. Alone, I sat in the quiet and asked if there was anything there. I told it to let me know it was listening.
Membership started just $5 a month with bonus tier options on Patreon at $10 and $20 levels with extras including advanced commercial-free episodes of our regular show, bonus perks, and more.
After a moment, there was a knock on the wall. I was scared but pissed and I said, "Are you the one who won't leave me and my son alone?" Which was followed by three loud bangs on my wall. I cried and ran and hid. I couldn't do this anymore.
This show can only survive through your support of being an EPP. Sign up now at ghostpodcast.com and keep Real Ghost Stories Online on the air. Thank you for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your Real Ghost Story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a listener is awoken in the night by sobbing from an invisible person in her bed. Two women encounter a man on a road looking for a cemetery before he vanishes. Inexplicable activity in an apartment complex laundry leads to it being remodeled, and a scary paranormal event scares a family from their home for the night. But did this actually save the family? Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hello.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing well. I went for a walk this morning. And I had this idea of I'm going to work and walk at the same time.
Yeah.
And it worked.
Good.
Aside from a little bit of wind, I think I need to like look at getting a Bluetooth or something.
Well,
I don't know if that helps wind or not.
It's windy today. It's not going to be windy.
I know.
The rest of the year.
Of all the days that it's windy, it's, you know, I go for a walk and I'm trying to make calls and such. So I was that guy who was in nature, very pristine, beautiful environment on my phone.
Yeah.
But we live here.
You are at least getting out and walking.
I would either be sitting at my desk doing it, or I'm trying to multitask thinking, well, I can still get this work done because I need to, getting the work done is not optional.
Sure.
I have to do it. But if I can find a way to get a little enjoyable exercise out of the deal, I thought I'd try it.
I think you need to look at the exercise as not optional as well.
I do too.
Just because.
Unless it's like lightning.
Yeah. I mean, we both need to walk and
sure.
Do that.
But it worked pretty well. I noticed a little bit of windiness on my phone. I listened to some voicemails I left and played them back and was like, yeah, that's a little windy. So I got to work on that. And I think it's just a matter of figuring out. I've never used a Bluetooth, like a headset.
Sure.
In my life, like the little tiny one that everybody used to have and now it kind of went away. But I would only use it just when I go walking. That's like the only time I wouldn't be like in the restaurant having the conversation
sure.
to myself. But I got to look at that, I think. But all in all, I was teetering away on my phone through the whole walk. I made it two laps around the little pond over there.
That's about a mile.
Yeah. And I didn't fall in.
Good.
My concern was that I was going to be on my phone doing stuff and all of a sudden
plop or ploop. I think we more the
ploop.
The sound of me falling into the water. Just a small ploop. And I didn't. I navigated it well. And luckily there was no one there like also walking, which there normally is. I was kind of surprised. And to like look at me like, oh, how can he be honest?
Yeah.
It's like, well, you know, I enjoy the, I do go walking without my phone mostly, but in the morning I need to work and I'm going to try and incorporate walking and exercise and work.
There all you at go. One.
And we'll see how it goes. I did notice how out of breath I was talking and walking.
But that will get better.
It will. I had to slow my pace of walking because I'm kind of a fast walker.
Uh-huh.
When I slowed the pace, it got a little bit better. But that I got to build that up. But yeah.
It'll get better.
So there you go. That was my exciting morning of not falling in the lake.
I'm glad that you did not fall in the lake.
There you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. First letter comes in, says, hi, Tony and Jenny. My name's Julie, and I'm from Dallas, Texas. I've experienced several paranormal oddities in my life, but I'm going to tell you about a few that have happened in the last few years. I've been living in the same townhouse for about 16 years now. It was built in the 1970s, and as far as I know, nobody died there. I live alone in this two-story house for the most part. Nothing spooky ever happened here until about 4 years ago. One night, I woke from a deep sleep, the sound of someone sobbing loudly next to me in bed. I didn't immediately open my eyes as I tried to process what I was hearing, but I could hear the loud crying and remember thinking this can't be real because it sounds like someone is crying right next to me in bed. I slowly opened my eyes, afraid of what I might see, but when I opened my eyes, nobody was there. I could no longer hear the crying. It was silent. I breathed a sigh of relief and closed my eyes to go back to sleep again. Only I heard the loud sobbing again. This time, I was even more afraid to look, but I opened my eyes and nobody was there. I rolled over on my back, turning away from the empty space in the bed. I tried to shake it off and process what had happened, when suddenly I felt a hand grip my ankle and yank my foot towards the end of the bed. I immediately pulled up my feet and started to pray a prayer of protection and demanded whatever was there to leave me alone in Jesus' name. Nothing more happened that night. A couple of years later, and shortly after one of my grandmas had passed away in Florida, I was lying in bed but not asleep yet. I had only just gotten to bed a few minutes before when I felt someone sit down on the edge of my bed by my feet. I could feel the bed sink in, and although this creeped me out, I wasn't terrified like you might expect. I assume maybe my grandma had stopped in to check on me, or at least I hope it was as sweet and innocent as that. Again, I prayed a prayer of protection over me just in case. I've had a few weirder incidents in the last few months, too. One night I turned on the light switch in the kitchen, but the light bulb flashed and died. I went to get another bulb and attempted to change the bulb in the chandelier, which was in an awkward position and I couldn't see well. I remember thinking I sure could use some light, and at that moment, the light on my china cabinet in the dining room suddenly came on and lit up the room. The light in the cabinet is touch sensitive and must be touched from the inside of the cabinet to come on. I remember saying, thank you, out loud, because someone had helped me out just when I needed it. I like thinking it was my other grandma who died back in 2010 and had once given me a lamp and told me everyone needs a little light. I often repeat this quote of hers and remember her little lamp gift fondly. A few weeks later, I was going into the kitchen and thought I'd heat up a frozen burrito for dinner. I open the freezer and a burrito just falls out onto the floor. There's no reason for this to happen as the burritos were securely in the freezer and I wasn't overstuffed or anything. I'm sure I've had other little things like this happen over the years in this home, but these are the most recent events. I often wake up at 2 or 3 in the morning for no apparent reason. Sometimes I'll be wide awake and feel like God is waking me up to pray, so I use the time to pray over everyone I can think of. A few times I've woken up at exactly 3 or 3:30, which creeps me out a little. Anyway, love your show, and all the interesting stories. Stay spooky. Julie.
It makes you wonder, I mean, other than the whole pulling your foot and pulling you out of bed thing, that's not usually a good thing, but everything else seems kind of just standard ghost stuff.
No, I think the most ominous, scary, this is some dark stuff happening here, is someone trying to have another human being consume a frozen burrito.
Now, what I'm getting at is there's more than one thing here.
Okay.
And I wonder if the sobbing ghost in bed is more so not trying to scare her, but just something that's still grieving, whatever.
I could say that just being something there and not even necessarily even pertaining to her, just kind of a residual type thing going on. What about the burrito?
Is that a helpful ghost
or is that like the devil himself coming going?
I think if it's paranormal, it's helpful.
What if it's trying to give you poison?
Right, like a poison apple, but a poison
I'm just saying poison in general, they're I consider them along the lines of drain cleaner. I don't consume them.
Burritos?
Frozen burritos.
Yeah.
They never work with me.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion. I'm not saying, and trust me, I've eaten my fair share of frozen burritos in my life. But it's probably good that I put them in that category of drain cleaner. No, I'm good. Even if I'm really hungry, no, I'm good. I'm not going to have the frozen burrito. That's more, I think, of a courtesy to those around me than it is my reaction to them. I think some of them are fairly tasty.
Yeah.
And I have enjoyed them. My body disagrees.
Can we stop talking about how you and burritos don't get along?
That's where I put them.
Okay.
Put them in the category. Like, nope. If we had them, I put Mr. Yuck stickers on them.
Well, she was looking for a burrito and this whatever found one. So there you go.
I don't know. I think it could swing either way as being something very dark.
No pun intended.
Exactly. All right. Well, hey, guys, sexual performance issues, more common than you think out there. In fact, over 25% of new ED cases are guys under the age of 40. But you had no idea. It no longer has to be something, let's not talk about, let's pretend it's not going on, and you know that's that sort of thing. ForHims.com, one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, sexual wellness for men. And they can help you with this, okay? Thanks to science, ED can now be optional. Hims connects you with real doctors and real medical-grade solutions to treat this. You get well-known, generic equivalents. You may not even know that existed. It does now, and it's not like some sort of weird snake oil supplement or something either. This is real name-brand prescriptions to help you combat ED. And with the generic stuff, a big game changer. You may have thought of that before and go, oh, God, that's expensive. One ED pill, starting with letter V, came off patent December 11th. That's a game changer. It's now the generic, extremely affordable. No waiting room, no awkward doctor visits, no lines. Save hours by going to forhims.com. It's so easy. Answer a few quick questions, chat with a doctor for a confidential review. Products are shipped then right to your door. Okay? Doesn't have to be an issue anymore. Be your best version of you, and that means performing at your best. No in-person doctor visits, none of that. All that is all done and gone and the way of the dinosaur. Try 4Hims for a month today for just $5. Get you started for just $5 while supplies last. See website for full details. So cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or a pharmacy. Go to 4hims.com/RGS. That's FORHIMS.com/RGS. 4hims.com/RGS. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Kayla writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Kayla from Albuquerque writing in again. I've written in a couple stories, including a creepy midnight drive in rural New Mexico and a haunted dorm. Today I'm writing about something that happened to me when I was living in Lyon, France. By the way, Tony, it's pronounced Leon. Oh, there we go.
Leon.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that. Okay. I just didn't realize it was spelled that way.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that.
I have. I didn't realize the spelling. I want to start off by saying that Lyon is an incredibly historical city. It was once the Roman capital of Gaul, which I didn't get a enunciation guide there.
I think you said it right.
Gaul? Okay.
G-A-U-L?
Yeah.
Gaul.
Which would later become France. I've got generations upon generations. Stop laughing at me.
I'm sorry.
What?
You're just funny.
Of history, and layered on top of that, 7-layer burrito, is a history of the city. I did burrito in there. The city of people that inhabits it today. That is not to say that those dead generations are gone, though. The city is a large hill with a large cathedral on top, as well as a ton of Roman ruins. The hill is called, oh, here we go again, Fourvière.
Yep,
There we go. Most of the skyscrapers and new apartments and whatnot surround the hill, but up on the hill, there are significantly fewer people and a lot more history visible to the naked eye. You must take a tram to get up there. You can walk, but it's Addison takes about half an hour to get up there. Anyway, I lived in Lyon for a while. One night, my good friend and I decided it'd be fun to take a tram up the hill at night and enjoy the view of the city from up there. It was windy, warm evening. There was nobody on the street once we exited the tram at the top of the hill. By the cathedral, there are a lot of nice walking paths with a lot of grass and vines growing alongside. We walked to the cathedral, enjoyed the view, joked around, and decided to walk into the smaller town community on top of the hill. To get there, we walked around an 18th or 19th century monastery, and we continued down a road with two very large cemeteries with headstones dating from the 1700s. It may have been a little eerie, but my friend and I were enjoying ourselves and talking, so I was hardly thinking of the hundreds of dead people alongside the road that were approaching. On one of the winding roads, we passed an old man, the only other person who had been out, and I smiled at him as he approached. He wore a beautiful three-piece suit with a hat, but his face was mostly obscured by shadows. As we passed, he stopped in his tracks and asked in French, "Excuse me, do you know where the cemetery is?" My friend and I exchanged quick glances, since we were right alongside the cemetery when he approached. I indicated that it was to our left, and he nodded, kept walking. As soon as we had taken a couple more steps forward, I made a face at my friend to tell her I was confused by his question. I made a quick glance backwards, but the path was entirely empty. And the warm gusts of wind continued to blow as I contemplated what had just happened.
It makes you wonder, was he trying to find the cemetery to find somebody else, or was he just trying to get back to where he's supposed to be?
He was out on a day trip.
Day trip.
He had a pass from the center, like a hall pass.
Yeah.
You have to get those at the cemetery when you're dead.
Right.
It's like, can I get one of those, please? And it's, what did you have for hall passes when you were a kid? Were they like little passes, or were they like large, weird, obscure boards and stuff?
Yeah, they were kind of like a large, weird, obscure thing on one of those giant, it's almost like a three-ring binder ring, but it was a huge one.
Yeah.
You know, and that way you couldn't possibly set it down and not find it.
Yeah, or be confused, I guess, wandering through the hall without a pass, mm-hmm. I guess. Was that the other thing, too? It's just like, let me see your pass. There's like, no, stop. And.
But that was mainly when I was little. I mean, other than that, when we were older,
yeah.
We had to take our planner with us. That proved we were a student. Because we somehow had the school planner, so that made sure that we were safe.
That would be difficult to imitate. Oh, the security measures of the 1990s.
I know.
They've gotten so much better. No, they don't. I know plenty of people who work in schools, and it's about in a lot of cases, to that standard still. Yeah. And it's disturbing. I just remember, I think we still had the weird stuff, like the giant, like, wooden, it's like, well, we need to have something, so people know. It's like, if you're walking around with a large, obscure object, That's your, you could, like, just go grab, like, a railing or a bar off of a coat rack or something and carry the coat rack through the hall. Like, oh, it must be the pass for Mr. Bernstein's room down the way.
Hall pass.
He's using a coat rack this year. Like, that's kind of what it was, because you'd walk through the halls and kids would be carrying just weird objects. And you're like, oh, that's the pass. But it was just accepted, like, oh, that's what it is. It's like, yeah. Oh, it's a picture frame. That's a large picture frame. It's like, why? It's like, well, it's a hall pass. You know, trying to find a place for it, like in the bathroom.
Right.
So, like, because it's too large to fit in the stall. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I swear to God, that's kind of how it worked. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Jamie writes in, hey guys, I don't even know where to start, but I guess I'll start with a story that hasn't quite ended just yet. You see, ever since I was young, my life has been surrounded by spirits, haven't quite moved on just yet. However, there is one thing that seems to linger and only shows its presence right before my world flips upside down. It all started when I was 15. It was during the fall, and strange occurrences kept happening every other day. I'd hear whispering, doors would open, my dogs would freak out and bark at nothing, and I'd see shadows around my house all the time. Things happened every other day until one night my older brother decided to have a bonfire in our backyard and refused to let me back there. So I stood inside by myself in the living room watching a movie. I sat there watching Netflix with my dogs, and suddenly I heard a scratch at the door. At the time, my dog would always get out and run wild in the streets, and once he was ready to come home, he'd scratch the door. That being said, I got up and reached for the doorknob. Before I could touch the knob, I felt my heart drop into my stomach, and I looked to my side and realized all my dogs were standing right beside me, ready to greet our visitor. I tried to reevaluate what I just heard. I thought, maybe I just thought I heard a scratch. As I stood there processing what just happened, hand hovering above the doorknob, I was slapped back into reality when the scratching came again, harder. Chills ran up and down my spine almost as fast as I ran to my brother. I told him to open the door, and that's where I truly screwed up. Later on, I had forgotten what just happened because, like I said, that it was common for me. I went to sleep and had a dream that I was seeing pictures of the front of my house in the photographs. There was young women with long, dark black hair crawling to my front door. I remember seeing the dates at the bottom of the picture. All coincidentally, they were all the same dates that stuff seemed to be happening. Finally, I looked at the last picture in awe as a woman seemed to be at my front door. The picture was dated the night of the bonfire. I remember waking up in a panic because I realized what I just did. I let her in. After many cleanings to the house, or cleansings, everything seemed to go back to normal until the next year. I sat in my living room completely alone at 2 a.m. I was 16 and it was the middle of June when all of a sudden I hear a knock at my door. My heart sank once again and I didn't even bother checking the peephole. I locked the door and ran to my room. I remember feeling eerie every time I walked outside. My porch was always a place I'd sit and think. However, since the knocking, I felt whatever it was that knocked that night hadn't yet left yet. I'd feel a dark heaviness whenever I'd sit on my porch, and at times I felt I was being watched. I remember being consumed in depression and anxiety at the time. Thus, the cleansings began again, and all went back to normal. I hadn't heard the knocking in years. I'd forgotten all about it until just the other night. I was sitting with two of my friends watching a movie when all of a sudden the TV went black. We sat there, staring at the blank TV, wondering what just happened. And as soon as we began to talk, there was a knock at the door. My heart returned to the place in my stomach, and I couldn't move. I ignored it and tried to talk over the knocking. My friends looked at me like I was deaf. I ignored that too. Finally, one got up and walked to the door. "Don't open it," I yelled. She stared at me confused, and I jumped up and locked it as a third friend joined us in the entryway of my house. We stared in disbelief as my doorknob began to turn repeatedly. My friend, being the skeptic she is, unlocked and opened the door wide enough for her to see absolutely no one was there. Since that night, the wind chimes in my bedroom go off for no reason, even though I've had them up for years and they've never made a sound. The lights I turn off seem to turn back on when I turn around, and the doors I leave shut when I go to work are wide open when I get home. Thank you guys so much for taking the time to hear what's been keeping me up all night. I'd love to be on your show, but if not, just don't open the goddamn door.
No kidding. I almost wonder if there's a way to... Because this seems to be a repetitive thing for this person. Mm-hmm. If there's a way to just get in the habit of looking and seeing if there's anything that you can see out there before opening the door, no matter what.
Like a security camera?
Well, that or a peephole. I mean, something, just because this is a constant issue.
Yeah. I wonder if you had like one of those security cameras that are like motion activated, if you get anything on it.
Probably. If it can move wind chimes, it can probably show up on that.
We've had one of those before. Called in or sent into us.
Yeah.
Someone with a video doorbell. And they're like, "You won't believe what I have." And it's like, it's creepy as hell. It's this.
I'm glad I haven't seen it.
You want to get the app on your phone so you can check ours?
I don't.
I check ours all the time. Not for ghosts, but just to check.
Yeah, I know.
Because there's a way with some of those where it will, we don't have it, where it'll like store it to the cloud. Mm-hmm. Like forever. A lot of them just, it's in real time. You can turn it on and see what's going on out there. But I could see that getting some interesting ghostly images. The fact that stuff like this exists now, that there's just random anybody has video monitoring that can be cloud archived at motion. And it's not just, you know, a big spotlight that goes on over your garage anymore. Mm-hmm. Do you think by just the sheer volume of the increased documentation of things that is out there now, that there's more capturing of ghosts and things that otherwise would never have been captured?
Sure. Just like how when we started having the ability to take pictures a lot easier and not have to you know, haul a camera with us or, you know, video. I think we capture a lot of things a lot quicker now.
Sure, but just in volume of more ghostly things. I suppose by volume you would.
Yeah.
You know, thanks for the writing in. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. James writes in, hello, this is James from Michigan again. I've written a few times before. I have a new story to share. For anyone interested, I wrote about the girl in my apartment that told me the story of her death through dreams and the other activity related to her in my apartment. And about several experiences I had in my aunt and uncle's house, as well as a story about the various dreams I have and have had about loved ones, as well as some possible astral projection experiences. I'm also legally blind, which made some of these experiences even more strange, as I should not have been able to see some of the things I saw. Today, I want to share some of the other experiences I've had in my apartment since I moved in over a decade ago. And I also want to share some interesting things about the house in the middle of my apartment complex that contains the leasing office and the laundry room. Besides the experiences I wrote about before with the spirit of the young girl that I mentioned earlier, I've heard many unexplained bumps and bangs in my apartment over the years. I've noticed that these sounds seem to increase when I used to watch the TV show Ghost Hunters. I've talked to a number of others about paranormal, and I've heard that others have had similar experiences while watching shows on the paranormal as well. I've also heard knocking on the underside of the cement foundation of this apartment building, but there's no basements beneath these apartments. On one day, when this knocking happened, a friend who had come to visit also heard the noises, and we even felt the vibrations in the floor from the knocks. As to the clubhouse, which some residents and I called the house in question, the first strange thing that happened to me was not strange at all when it happened. Sometimes when I have the energy, I like to walk around the apartment complex either late at night or early in the morning. I chose these times to walk because over the years I've become more and more sensitive to light, and it was easier for me to walk in the dark with my white cane. Also, the block containing the clubhouse was a great place to walk because there was a small park within it, and I could walk all over the block without encountering any driveways or streets that would require me to slow down. On several of these walks in the dark, I noticed that the lights on the second floor of the clubhouse were on. I also heard sounds as if someone was moving things around. This didn't make sense as the office opens in the morning and closes in the evening. Still, I figured there must be an apartment up there. Later, I asked the people in the office if that was the case, but they said the second floor was just used for storage. I also prefer to do my laundry at night. This is possible because tenants in the apartment complex were given keys to the room to be used after business hours when the office was closed. On some of these visits to the laundry room, I heard movements similar to what I had heard from outside before, but from above me. From the second floor, I was not afraid, as I'd been through much worse in terms of paranormal activity in my life. Earlier this year, I went to do my laundry, but I decided to stay in the room until the washer was done with my clothes so I could transfer them to the dryer. I was sitting in one of the room's old, uncomfortable chairs when the washer finished. I slowly got to my feet, looked down towards the floor. Although there had been nothing in front of me when I had been looking forward, I saw a pair of dark dress shoes and a pair of dress pants of a light shade, although I can't say exactly what it was. Right in front of me, I stood up and backed up, but as soon as I looked up, the figure in front of me had vanished. Not long after this, I got a letter in the mail from the apartment complex management. The laundry room was going to be remodeled and updated. I knew then why the owner of the dress pants and shoes had decided to appear that day. They were not happy about the upcoming changes to the room. One morning after the renovations had been completed, I went in and one of the office workers showed me around the laundry room. I was barely able to concentrate on what they were saying. The room felt heavy, and I felt like neither of us were welcome there. I've never had such a strong feeling in my life, even during all my other experiences. The next time I went to do laundry there at night, after all the changes had been made, I discovered that the owner of the shoes and pants was an old man. I didn't see him again. As I walked in, I heard him talking. I couldn't understand what he was saying, but I knew he was there. I'm also writing in because I want to thank you, Tony and Jenny, for everything you do. Again, thank you both for making this show and creating the EPP program. If anything else happens, either in my apartment or in the laundry room at the clubhouse, I'll write in again immediately.
So he only saw the dress shoes and the pants. It makes you wonder if that's all there was.
I don't know.
Because sometimes you only get part of the ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the swim shorts ghost? We had a story about that where it was just legs and swim shorts.
Yeah, that's weird. I remember that. Weird. That was a long time ago.
It's like a malfunction on a ghost.
I guess it's just, you know, what's coming through at what given time. And probably sometimes when that's happening, they're not even realizing anybody is seeing them.
Yeah.
It's just we're, I don't know, things are crossing.
Mm-hmm.
Probably out there swimming.
Yeah.
Now, that would be a creepy one if you're sitting by the pool and then the water starts splashing. I've heard those stories before, but.
Right.
That to me would be like very like, there's no wind. What's going, you know, like that. Yeah. Stephen writes in. So this story happened about 8 years ago in the middle of winter in Morganstown, West Virginia. I still lived at home with my mom, stepdad, and sister. My stepdad worked nights, so I usually stay home most nights. We live in what used to be my stepdad's family farm. The original farm was over 80 acres. Since his father passed, most of the farm was sold and people had built a couple houses and had families, but we all knew each other. And since we lived at the end of the only road in, we all would look out for one another. So this night, this story happened, was just a normal night. It was in my room at the end of the house, close to our neighbors. The neighbors on that side, it's my best friend growing up and his wife. They just had their little boy and her mother was staying with them, helping out. That night, he had to go to work at 11 and plow roads from a recent snowstorm. I was laying in my room, and at about 8 p.m., I heard my mom's phone ring and could tell something was wrong. She yelled back to me and told me to look out my window towards my buddy's house. He said that someone had just pounded on the door and no one was there. I flung my window open and was looking and could see him walking outside with his light. He went back in, and I closed my window, and not 2 minutes later, they called again. Someone had pounded against this time. I went outside with a gun and met up with my buddy. The only footprints we could find were ours. We had fresh snow from that day and there was no place to hide. I asked him what he had heard. He said he had just laid down to get a little sleep when he heard three big pounds on the door. He said it sounded like someone was trying to get in the house. Second time he had just taken off his boots and was telling his wife he didn't see anything and there was three big pounds on the door. And he said he swore he thought someone was coming in and he ran to the door and pulled it open and saw no one. We looked all around and then decided to go back in. I came inside, put my gun away, and just about then his wife calls again, and yet again they had the same three big bangs. This time I ran to my bedroom to look out my bedroom window, and my buddy was out there with his gun walking around screaming at whatever or whoever was doing the pounding. After about 10 minutes, he went inside and waited to see if it was happening again. Nothing happened the rest of the night. He went to work that night, all was fine. Since then, nothing has happened like that, and his wife hates us talking about it. I have a lot of other stories that I'll share when I have time. I'm new to the podcast, and I absolutely love it. I listen to it when I do yard work or working in my shop. Keep it up.
Again, banging, it's a natural instinct to want to go find that out.
Sure.
Just see what it is.
It's not usually something paranormal.
Yeah.
A lot of times it's a squirrel or something.
Or something, yeah.
Something.
So.
What else could it be? Chipmunk, raccoon.
Raccoon.
Possum.
More what I'm thinking is going to make a larger bang.
Armadillo.
Armadillos are pretty quiet and keep to themselves.
They do. They like to sit in the corner and have tea.
They're weird. They're kind of like little bulldozers when they go through leaves.
They're fun to watch.
They are fun to watch. Don't ever touch one.
Yeah, that's not a good idea.
But they're not going to probably cause a banging. But no. I could see a raccoon doing that.
Yeah. Sometimes, do they take their fists and just bang on stuff? Like,
I don't know.
Drums?
I don't know.
Ariel writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. My friend introduced me to your podcast a few weeks ago. I really like it. I actually grew up in Neenah, Wisconsin, which is like 45 minutes north of Fond du Lac. Oh, on a good day, you can make it to Neenah in like a half hour. I think, because okay. We measure everything there by time. Uh-huh. There's not a whole lot of how far away is that? That's about 12 minutes away. It's not like, oh, that's 18 miles or something. It's don't know why. This is just how it's done. Anyway, my brother and I had some experiences when we were little that I believe have made us more sensitive as we've grown up. Where we grew up, we used to find arrowheads all the time, and I think that they found some Native American artifacts buried down the road from us. My theory is that made the land that we lived on more haunted. We had a lot of experiences in our first home, and the nature of these experiences had led me to believe that it was a dark entity that haunted us. I was terrified of the dark from my earliest memories to age 16, which I thought was relatively normal. And I thought all these memories that I had were things that I'd imagined until we moved away from that land, and I started talking to my mom and brother, and they had similar encounters. I had a few stories, but I'll tell you the creepiest one. You can let me know if you'd like me to write in with more. My mom was a single mom, so we lived down the road from my grandpa. I think I was around sixth grade when she started letting my brother and I stay in our house alone after school until she got home from work. My brother is 2.5 years younger than me, so he was in third grade. We'd always stop by our grandpa's house after we got off the bus, grab a snack, and then walk down the street to our house. I usually got out first, and then my brother would get out around 30 minutes later. Well, I got to our house and was in the bathroom when I heard my brother come in. I distinctly remember hearing the doors open and close. Then I heard his voice say, "Ariel? Ariel?" I shouted back that I was in the bathroom and I'd be right out. I finished my business, came out of the bathroom, looking for my brother. I just sat down on the couch, confused, and my brother walked in the door. At this point, terrified, I shouted at him, "Very funny, where were you?" My brother replied that he was at Grandpa's house and I just walked down the road. I called my grandpa to confirm, because I didn't believe my brother, and he confirmed that my brother had left less than 5 minutes ago. There's no way he'd have had time to come in, call for me, walk back out, and then walk back in. My brother and I ran all the way back up to my grandpa's house that day. Without more background on what's, you know, going on at the house, there's other stories, because I'd like to hear more stories. It sounds like there is more stories.
Yeah.
It's hard to know what exactly is going on or, you know, what, who, any of that. Mm-hmm. Clearly something, but sure. If you fill in more of the blanks of your experiences there, if I give a little more insight or thoughts on that situation. Thanks for writing in. Thomas writes in, "Hi, my name's Thomas. This is a story that was told to me by my family members that were there. I was gone this particular night at a friend's house. The story takes place in a small mountain town in northwest New Hampshire named Monroe on July 4th of 2012. My mother had gone to the store and left my little sister, who was about 16 at the time, and her three friends home. While my mom was gone, my little sister and her friends were sitting on the porch and started hearing the voice of a girl coming from nowhere, screaming for help. The voice got closer and closer to my sister, to the point where it sounded like it was literally right next to her. It scared her so much that she ran inside and called my mom, who returned home promptly. We've had a lot of creepy paranormal things that have happened in the house, so this was nothing new, and my mom shrunk it off and just another one of those things. They'd lost power due to a thunderstorm, and my siblings wanted to leave because they were scared and wanted to stay at a family's friend's apartment. My mom didn't want to because it was a very small apartment. We're a big family. She said they would stick it out. My mom went outside with my older brother and started to grill to cook dinner, and about the time when they were ready to put on the burger, something appeared on the picnic table. In my mom's word, it was large, black manifestation that looked evil. It scared her so bad, she ran inside, packed up clothes for the night, and everyone. Had my brother pour water on the grill to put out the garble, grabbed everyone and the dog and left. That night around 2 or 3 in the morning, our house was hit by lightning and burned to the ground. The only thing that survived was one of my basketball jerseys. It was inside a ball of clothes inside the washing machine. When my mom returned to the house the next morning, the fire chief or inspector, I forget which, told her that if they had stayed there that night, there would have been multiple fatalities, as it is unlikely that anyone would have made it out. To this day, we have no idea what the black thing on the table was and have never been able to explain it. But if that didn't appear, I would probably be the only surviving member of my family of eight. Thank you for doing the podcast. You guys are a great way to listen to, I listen to you every day at work. Hope you both have a great day.
I think that's right. I think if that hadn't shown up, it could have turned out really bad, but it almost makes you wonder if that was trying to scare them away.
It's an interesting use of a dark thing. I mean, because a lot of times you see the super scary dark things, you think, oh, God, this is a dark end. They better get me away. But in this case, it helped. Mm-hmm. But maybe it was a good something that knew, okay, I have to look really pretty creepy and dark here for this to take effect.
Right.
And that's what it went after.
It's kind of what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Good story. Thanks for sharing that with us. Trey writes in, "Hey, Tony and Jenny, I thought I'd tell you the story of the Bellamy Bridge in Greenwood, Florida. So my father is the one who told me this story, since he grew up around that area, and the story is famous around those parts to the locals. So the story takes place during the Civil War in the mid-1800s. An officer in the Confederate Army, Mr. Bellamy, was getting married to his fiancée one night. The wedding goes as planned, and the party and festivities take place and begin to die down towards the end of the evening. As the wedding festivities are coming to an end, a messenger rode into the manor where the party and ceremony were being held to inform Mr. Bellamy that he was needed. He was to pack up and leave for the Fort Lines at night. So as Mr. Bellamy rides away on his horse, Miss Bellamy is understandably distraught, thinking she may never see him again. As it was cold that night, she was sitting close to the fireplace trying to warm up, still in her wedding gown, crying and distracted by her emotions. A hot ember popped out of the fireplace and landed on her dress, catching it on fire. Seeing this, she immediately runs out of the house and down the Chippewa River, just a stone's throw away. As she's running, she nears the bridge and runs down it, planning to jump off into the river. But as she enters the bridge, she collapses from smoke inhalation and burns to death right on the bridge. Many say that if you go to the bridge late at night around that time that she perished, you can see a light floating across the bridge slowly, just as the light reaches a spot she died. The light fades away. I've seen the bridge, and it being an old bridge, the bottom was still made of thick wooden planks, and a slight burnt spot still visible on the wood. Unfortunately, the planks have since been destroyed in the numerous storms in the panhandle of Florida. My father spent a lot of time down there in this area catfishing on the banks of the river just 15 to 20 yards away from the bridge. While catfishing late one night with his buddy, he claimed to see a light moving across the bridge. He thought it was a firefly, maybe something off in the distance, but he noticed it was quite large and moving very steadily until reaching the charred plank on the bridge, then disappeared altogether into the night.
It's a great story, but most towns have some sort of bridge story.
Mm-hmm.
This is one I've never heard before.
That is, yeah.
It's interesting.
It has a lovely twist to it of tripping and falling from smoke inhalation and burning to death. Normally, they just throw a child off, you know, something real tame. or jump themselves. I mean,
yeah.
They're all horrible.
They are all horrible.
This is just a new horrible variation on it. And I go back to where does it start?
I know.
You know?
And I'm not saying that I don't believe something happened there and that they saw something. But it's just interesting that there's so many stories that different places have about bridges.
Although, I mean, back in the day when there wasn't tall buildings or, you know, I guess other readily available means of ending it, if that's what you want to do, I guess the bridge was probably one of your better options.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just thinking it's horrible, I'm just thinking, well, maybe it isn't just one bridge. It's not just, this is more common in somewhat populated areas because that seemed to be the option when people would do that. Mm-hmm. And that obviously people have done that forever.
Yeah.
So maybe that was just, that was the option at the moment. So that's why there's so many of these stories of different areas with different bridges. And it doesn't just necessarily stem back to one bridge.
I don't know. I wonder why bridges are... They're kind of scary. Like when you're little, bridges are kind of creepy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, I don't know. I get hotels. I get a lot of the things that we hear over and over. But I'm not real sure why bridges have such folklore with them.
I don't know.
Is it because it's usually water under them?
I don't know. That certainly ties in.
Why didn't she just take the burning dress off?
Because she had smoke inhalation and she passed out.
No, she was running to the river.
But it said she had smoke inhalation, passed out, and then burned. So she might have been on the bridge, choked, coughed, went down, and then that
was it. But she had the dress on, and it was burning, and she was running to the river. Why, when you notice your dress is on fire, you just take it off?
I don't know.
Maybe it's one of those things that it's 1800s fashion, and you just can't unhook all the buttons and the corsets and crap.
That would have been the problem way back then, and now today the problem would be too flammable.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, boom, it just goes up in smoke. I remember watching, it was like Dateline or 2020 or something in the 90s, and there was some material that was being very commonly used in women's clothing, especially skirts. And it was like, I don't know what it was. It was a super, like, more like ruffled type fabric.
Mm-hmm.
I just remember the video where it's like, and watch how flammable it is. And like, literally, like they just put like a match by this thing and boom, it just like ignites.
Wow.
It was almost like, you know, like silly string, you know, where you, like, I don't know if that's still as flammable as it always was when we were kids. Or it's basically taking an aerosol can and shooting flame at it. And it was like, oh my God, it's so flammable. The dress went up like silly string of the 90s. And then they realized, oh, well, it's some sort of, you know, synthetic fabric that you know, and they, I believe it's not used anymore. Although, who knows?
It's probably, she couldn't take it off because, you know, they,
yeah,
they had to strap women into those dresses.
Sure. Sure. That's, well, there you go.
There you go.
I'm glad that you've come to the conclusion on that.
That was going to bug me.
Yeah. I was just thinking of the last line of the story, Into the Night. So Benny Mardones came into mind.
No.
And that's a creepy song unto itself.
Oh, that's like the child predator song,
it is,
isn't it?
If you listen to it, and it's still like, it's readily played on gold-based AC type stations, adult contemporary. And it's a, she's just 16 years old, leave her alone, they say.
You know,
it's,
and
like,
it's,
what the
it's not like some of the songs of like the 50s and 60s where it's like one kid singing about another kid.
No.
This is like, obviously they're telling him to leave her alone.
It's like, you're a child predator lurching around the high school.
Yeah.
And somehow, like, you know, they put some yacht rocky music behind it, and it's a romantic tune.
And they still play it.
They do. I know. It's so, like, if you listen to the lyrics, like, oh my God, this is a song about, like,
preying
on a child. Yeah.
Fun times.
Creepy song.
Yeah.
Seriously, if you YouTube it, Google it, if it's someone you haven't heard for a long time, you're like, oh, I remember hearing that on the radio when I was a kid, at the very least, for most of us. And you're like, oh my God, this is a creepy ass song.
It could be, if it didn't have certain lyrics, it could be a decent song.
Yeah. It's like what you, I would just, this is a horrible thought, but, sometimes there's, you know, folks who've been released from prison and such after,
oh God,
they've, you know, and sometimes there's like
group
facilities and such that,
yeah,
some will live in. The creepy thought is you're walking by the, like, oh, you know what, you know who lives in that house? These people that were convicted of these things, and just blaring out the window, you hear that song over and over. It's like, oh my God. Just, it's like the theme. The theme of Predators. Benny Mardones going down in history for that. Did he have other songs?
I have no idea.
I bet he wishes he did now.
Yeah.
If he's still alive. I don't even know. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the program, help keep us on the air. Become an EPP Extra Podcast Person. Sign up on our website, ghostpodcast.com. Get access to all of our bonus episodes, almost 200 of them now. Brand new ones every single week. Extra bonus content there. $5 a month. How do you like that? $5 a month. $5 a month. Sign up to be an EPP, Extra Podcast Person. Check it out, ghostpodcast.com, and help keep us on the air. You can also do it through Patreon as well. The link is there at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.